point of Empowered is we are people of the Spirit. We're living God's intent, as we were just singing about earlier, is that we be a people fueled by the Spirit of God, empowered for what He has called us to do, what He's designed us to do. We're not supposed to do it in our own strength and our own ability. God never intended you to go out and do great things for Him by yourself. He intended that you do great exploits in His name, yes, but with Him, empowered by Him. We're going to hit a lot of scriptures today as we kick into this series, and then after today, the other three or four days, we'll focus in on specific passages. But today is sort of a broad overview of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and this is going to be fun. I'm really excited about this series. I'm glad you guys are here today so that I can share it with somebody. When I was a kid, I would hear this story a lot. When my grandmother died, sad day for my family. It was sort of an early death because of cancer, and very emotional, traumatic for my mom and for her brother, my uncle. Very close family, very much respected my grandma, and I never really got to know her because she died when I was like 6 months old. So I didn't really know her. I just heard about her. But the story that stood out to me the most about the day of her funeral was, you might think, oh, it's you know, everybody's going to talk about what an amazing woman she was. And actually, they would talk about, they're getting ready to go into the funeral service, and it's sort of somber, solemn moment. And just before they walked in, a bird flew over and flew right over my uncle and did its business right on my uncle's shoulder. And so he, right as he's going to head into this very somber moment, he gets a gift from the air. And what it did is it just struck him so funny that my dad, or my mom and my uncle are standing outside this memorial service laughing hysterically, uncontrollably. This is so funny, and now he has to try and get cleaned up to go in and try to put on a straight face for the funeral. And it was interesting how this ridiculous moment lightened the whole mood. It lightened the day, and they were able to go through the day with joy, actually. Now, I don't want to equate the Holy Spirit to a bird, but a lot of people do that. We talk about there's the Father, and there's the Son, and there's the Holy Spirit. And we actually will refer to the Holy Spirit a lot as an it. Oh, it's the Holy Spirit, the it. And we see in Scripture where Jesus gets baptized, and when he comes up out of the water, it says the Holy Spirit descended on him in a form like a dove. And so people will equate the Holy Spirit with this thing. Oh, it's this bird that flies out of the sky. Or it's like the Force, you know, may the Force be with you. And we have this kind of, the Holy Spirit is kind of this energy or a thing. And what we're going to start getting into today is, I hope we make the point, the Holy Spirit is a He, not a bird, not an it. So, Matthew chapter 3 is where I'm going to start. I'm going to throw out some scriptures here pretty quickly just to get us rolling today. Matthew chapter 3, starting at verse 16. I'm reading from English Standard Version. It reads nicely, and it's accurate, so that's helpful. It says this, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him." So we see the Holy Spirit actually descending on Jesus. And there's a key point to this. The Holy Spirit came down on Jesus when he was baptized. And Jesus' whole ministry was then dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the Son of God. That doesn't mean he's not God. Jesus is God, but he is the Son. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But Jesus, being fully God, chose to live his life in this earth dependent on the power of the Holy Spirit. He relied totally on the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wanted his disciples actually to follow the same example. John, you can jot this down if you're taking notes. John 5, verses 19 and 20, and verse 30 actually refer to this, of Jesus doing nothing in and of himself. And then he says this in John 16, 7, "It's to your advantage that I'm going away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you." He's referring to the Holy Spirit. "The Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you." So Jesus, on this earth, he could only be in one place at one time. He had a real body. He was like you, like me, physical. He could walk. If he walked into the next room with the kids, he would be over there with the kids. He wouldn't be in here. But he says, "I'm going to go back to the Father. I'm going to return to heaven, but I'm going to send the Spirit. It's going to be better for you that I do this." And he told his disciples to wait, and he promised to send them the Holy Spirit from heaven. I'm just kind of giving you some backstory here. So the day of Pentecost, that's like 50 days after Passover in the Hebrew calendar, Jesus died at Passover, and he rose again on the third day, and then he was around. People saw him. He was instructing his disciples, "What do you do, or what to do after he went back to heaven?" And then he says, "Wait for the Spirit. I'm going to give the Spirit." So 50 days, I was going to say 50 days later, 50 days after he died, he sent the Spirit. So this happened. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4 is where that, you can read about that later if you'd like. And because this promise is fulfilled, there's no waiting necessary now. We don't have to wait for the Spirit again. The Spirit has been released. So we actually can experience this great life in the Spirit that Jesus promised. That being said, we'll get into our first main point here. Christian life is designed so that we must rely on the Spirit's power. This is how God set it up. Just like Jesus was dependent on the power of the Spirit, and he was dependent to hear what the Father was saying to him, so he would go out and do this. He would do what the Father said. He would hear what the Father's saying. He would say that. He would see what the Father was doing. He would do that. And amazingly, he was successful. When he would go out and he would say to somebody, "Be healed," they were. There's nowhere in Scripture that we see where Jesus says to somebody, "Be healed." Rats. You know, didn't work. There was one case where he lays hands on a guy and He actually does the whole mud paste thing. And his ladies, if you go to the spa and you have the cucumber bath or the mud bath or whatever, you know, Jesus does that for the guy in sort of a weird way by spitting in the dirt. No one wants to go to that spa. But he spits in the dirt, makes mud, puts it on the guy's eye, and the guy starts to see, but he says, "Well, I see men like trees walking." And so Jesus lays hands on him again, and then he can see completely. He can see fine. And the guy moves on with life, seeing. That's the only case we see where Jesus actually kind of prayed for the guy twice. But never was Jesus unsuccessful in his ministry. Never. Anybody want to walk through life like that? Maybe? I'm thinking, that sounds really great. Well, if I can hear perfectly and you can hear perfectly, we all just perfectly hearing God, we might have some amazing things happen in life. I'm just going to warn you, it probably won't be a perfect ministry, unflawless, where you never have any mistakes and you never just fall short. Sometimes it's going to happen, and that's okay. But the Christian life is designed this way. We have to depend on hearing from God through the Spirit and ministering in his power, or we just kind of go through the motions and have a church club. I'm not into church club. I'm not into club. I'm not a big fan of just meetings for meetings anyway. Here's what Paul had to say about this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 4 and 5. "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Paul's saying, I want you to have faith in who God is. I want your life and your life in God to rest on this faith of who God is, not in how smart I am, not in how intelligent I can be in delivering a really, really well-prepared sermon. If your faith rests on that, then when I have an off week, we're all in trouble. I could make it really bad today, and we can find out just where does our faith rest, huh? Let's not do that. Okay, let's keep moving. Here's some examples. Examples from Scripture. And I'm going to read these off the screen because it'll keep me moving. I wrote it in my notes here. Keep moving. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also." Acts chapter 8, 14 through 18. Next one. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Acts 10, 44 through 48. And we'll just keep going here. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. There he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Good question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about?" And he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all." So that's Acts 19, 1 through 7. So in all of these stories that we just kind of quickly read through, we have people being filled with the Spirit of God. Some of them, this one that we just read, it says, Paul's asking these guys, "When you believed, did you receive the Spirit?" This is how important this was to the early church. As a church is being built, as a church is being established in the earth, they wanted to be sure that people were filled with the Spirit. If we are really dependent on the Holy Spirit's power and ministry for effective ministry in the world, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit at work in our lives. You personally need the Holy Spirit's active work in your life. I personally need the Holy Spirit at work in my life. If I'm going to be out with people in Spokane this week, not just to go into and just like wow somebody, "Hey, I'm going to walk in, we're going to heal the sick today." Just like pop into like Deaconess Hospital or just roll in, like, let's just start going through the rooms and praying for the sick people. Well, that's cool and all, but you need the Holy Spirit's power at work in a conversation at work with someone during the week. You know, he will actually empower your daily life. I heard someone talking recently about how we have our Christian life and then we have our real life. Well, in my Christian life, I do this. Guys, all of our lives, our whole life is our Christian life. When you're at work, that's your Christian life. If you're at school, that's your Christian life. If you're wherever you are, hanging out with friends, that's your Christian life. And God wants to empower you there, where you are. Every conversation, I can't remember where the scripture is. It's kind of rolled into my head here. Saying, let your words be salted with fire. That when you're having a conversation with somebody, you might just be talking football. You might be talking running. You might be talking music. You might be talking whatever. And yet the Spirit wants to breathe life into that conversation. And who knows how he's going to empower you when you're there. We're designed to rely on his power everywhere. And so Paul says, did you receive the Spirit? So I'll ask you a question. I've heard Terry Virgo ask this question multiple times. According to these accounts that we just read, these stories, is the baptism of the Spirit a definite experience? Like, would you know if you had had this experience based on these accounts in Scripture? What do you think? I see some nodding. Maybe not. Does anybody disagree with that? Like, maybe you just have no idea. No one's seriously agreeing or disagreeing. It's sort of like, thank you, Gavin agrees. Gavin agrees. Good. Even if you didn't agree, I'd still preach this, but we should know, kids, you should know if you have received the Spirit. If you've received the baptism in the Spirit, you can say, yeah, I can point to this and say, I've received the Holy Spirit. It's so important. Paul asks the question. Just to qualify, when you receive Jesus at salvation, when you said, Jesus, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I confess I need you and I want you to lead my life. At that moment, you were born of the Spirit. So I'm not saying if you can't point to an occasion that you haven't received the Spirit of God into your life. John 3, 5 through 8 would say, yes, you actually have. But we also need to be filled with the Spirit for this ongoing, powerful work of God in our lives. Acts 1, 8 says this. I could probably get some of you to quote it to me. It says, you will receive something when the Spirit comes. You will receive power when the Spirit comes. And what's really important is what that's for. Why do you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on your life? To be witnesses. To be a testimony to Jesus wherever you go throughout all of your life. You will receive power to be witnesses. So this whole point of the baptism in the Spirit, Holy Spirit inundating you with himself, is so that you can be effective at communicating Jesus. That's cool. Jesus never wanted you to do it on your own. He wants you to do it with him, empowered by the Spirit. Now, the second point here, the Holy Spirit actually enables us to bring glory to Jesus everywhere we go. Now, I'm not going to read all of these scriptures. Don't be scared. We could be here a long time. I'm just going to tell you what each of these passages tells us about the ministry of the Spirit. John 14, 26 tells us that the Holy Spirit teaches us and helps us to remember Jesus' teachings. You need the Spirit at work in your life so that when you're out on the street, and maybe you don't even have your Bible with you, but you're out and words will come to your mind for the person you're talking with. And Jesus' teachings, what he's commanded us to do and to the way we're to live, those things just come to you by the power of the Spirit. He helps you remember Jesus' teachings. John 15, 26 says he will testify, the Holy Spirit will testify about Jesus. So if we're going to be a people of the Spirit, guess what that means? We're going to be focused on Jesus. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Is he helps us focus on Jesus and how amazing Jesus is. He empowers us to do exactly that, to be a very Jesus-centered church that does what Jesus did. John 16, 8 says he comes to convict the world concerning sin and concerning righteousness and judgment. Now, as a Christian, this is really exciting. Really exciting. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life not only convicts us of sin when we start to do something that isn't the will of God and we start to kind of stray off to the right or the left. Holy Spirit's there to say, no, this is the way. This is the way. Walk in it. And if we start to stray, we will be convicted. No, this isn't God's plan. This isn't God's will. And he'll bring us back and get us on course. But he also convicts us of righteousness. This is exciting. It's like a judge standing over you and pounding the gavel and convicting you. You are convicted. You are guilty of being righteous. What? The gavel's been pounded. It's a done deal. You are convicted. Of what? He comes to convict you that, yes, you are righteous in Christ. Because of what Jesus has done, you've been made righteous. And the Holy Spirit's ministry is to remind you of that and to get that deep into your heart that what Jesus has accomplished for you is really, really done. That alone makes me think, I just want to be freshly filled with the Spirit every day, because there's so much stuff going on in the world that can condemn me and make me feel like I'm not good enough or inadequate in some way. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, he reminds us, no, Jesus has done it. That's fantastic. I could just hang out with that one all day long. John 16:13 says that the Holy Spirit is submitted to Jesus and speaks only what he hears from Jesus. So the ministry of the Spirit is going to very much confirm Scripture. It's going to very much confirm what Jesus had to say. This helps us. This helps greatly. So if something begins to happen in the Spirit, quote, in the Spirit, and it doesn't line up with Scripture, we go, okay, that's obviously not the Holy Spirit at work. That's something else. So we have some boundaries here of how do we judge what's going on in the world? How do we judge what's going on in the church, ministry of the Spirit, versus something else? John 16:14 says that the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and declares to us the things of Jesus. There you go. There's another one of those. I didn't go read all of these, so this question didn't really help you. On the screen it says, is the Holy Spirit a he or an it? But every one of these verses, all those in John, all refer to the Spirit as a he. We'll just say that. It's a he. The Spirit is a he. Actually, it's helpful. Holy Spirit isn't a she. Holy Spirit isn't an it. Holy Spirit is a he. Why? What difference does that make? Here is the point. If the Holy Spirit is a he, we can have relationship with a he. We can have relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit versus the force. He's not something we just kind of sense and kind of feel. He wants to hang out with us. He wants to be a part of our lives. He wants to have relationship and interaction with you and me. Thirdly, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for those still afar off. So all of us in the room, which is not a huge percentage of Spokane this morning, but also those yet to be saved in Spokane and beyond. Acts 2:38. I'm going to flip to this one. Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 37. So the problem in reading in the middle of a passage is you have to figure out where you can start. Peter's speaking to people, telling him, hey, Jesus really was the Son of God. Jesus really is the Messiah. And he says, let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus who you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Who does this not include? I guess everyone who God didn't call to himself. I personally don't really want to make a big deal about that. The point is, the promise is yours. The promise is for your children. And the promises for people yet far off that you've never even met. Now, when Peter said this to the people, the afar off people was us. That's us. This promise of receiving the Spirit, when we come to Him, we could do a message all in this little thing. When Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this promise that's for you is this. When you turn to God, you turn to Jesus, you repent, you go back to God's way of seeing things, you get to receive the Spirit. Sweet. Sweet. It's for us. Guys, the ministry of the Spirit is for us. It's not for someone else. So if you're under like 16 years old in the room, look at me for a minute. If you're under 16 years old, that's these young guys in the room, the promise of the Holy Spirit is for you. It's not for somebody else. It's not just for your parents. It's not this adult thing in the church. The promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit at work, it's for you guys. I know that because Peter actually said, this promise is for you and your children. So are any of you that are under 16 not someone's child? You didn't just like magically appear? You're the children. You guys, I know you're all young men. I'm sorry. You're not the children. You're the young men. We're men. We're manly men. Now, that's not to exclude the rest of us in the room. Guys, this promise is for all of us. Holy Spirit is not some exclusive being. He's a very much all-inclusive. Whoever will come to Jesus gets to receive the power of the Spirit for your life. Yes. That's fantastic. So really, all I wanted to do to kind of set up this series is remind us who the Spirit is, who He is for, and that He's come to empower our lives. And then we're going to start to dive into this in the next few weeks and kind of through some specific stories in Scripture, how this works. So let's just pray. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to freshly fill our lives today. Father, as we just sang a little while ago, you said, for your kingdom and for your glory, we want you to send your Spirit on us. We want to be freshly filled with the Spirit of God. And we just invite you, I personally just invite you, Holy Spirit, freshly fill me. Freshly fill my life. And I pray that for every one of us in the room. Those that are hungry for you, those that say, yeah, I want to serve Jesus and I want to serve Him effectively. Say, Jesus, for every one of those in this room and everyone that's hearing this, would you freshly fill us? Freshly fill us. Jesus, we love you. We love what you do through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you to be a very large part of Grace Church Spokane, a very large part of who we are as a people of God together. Would you empower us? I just pray for this upcoming week. You know what tomorrow holds. You know what Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. You know every day this week the things you're calling us to do, the people that you're going to lead us to. Would you freshly fill us today? That we can effectively minister your love, your grace, your mercy to people. Would you even effectively empower us to speak into people's life? Maybe words that bring correction or bring change into their lives. Would you empower us to do that well in a way that they're receiving from you? We need you. And Lord, we really wouldn't want it any other way. I love being dependent on you. So God, we just submit the week to you. We submit our lives to you. And we just trust that you are going to lead us in the days to come. So just thank you for that. Jesus, thank you for your Spirit at work in our lives. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's kind of a little takeaway for today. When you walk out of here, you don't leave the Holy Spirit here in this building where we only meet for a few hours, including our setup and teardown once a week. When you walk out of here, you take the Holy Spirit with you. And so does everybody else in this room. We take the Spirit with us. So rather than making this right now a time where, hey, let's, at the end of the meeting, let's all just pray for each other. What I'd like you to do, I'd like to challenge you, is sometime during this week, have someone else pray for you and pray for someone else to be freshly filled up with the Spirit. I'm not saying we're never going to do that in a meeting. I just feel like today isn't the day to make it be all about right here. So that's the challenge. Pray for somebody else this week to be freshly filled with the Spirit, and have somebody else pray for you to be freshly filled with the Spirit of God. And if you want to call and ask more questions about it, do that. So there you go. I feel like it's sort of a bit of an abrupt ending, but I think we call it right there for today.